The Art and Science of Wholeness, the University of Healing course, teaches basic reason. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. The Art and Science of Wholeness, basic course of the University of Healing, teaches that there is no logic, there is no reason. The divine has no logic or reason to it. Creation story has no logic or reason to it. Everything in the world has no logic or reason to it. When the divine within talks to us, there's no logic or reason to it. Now, Einstein went to bed and he said, I can't figure out, he didn't say I can't figure out, he says, this is perplexing, the theory of relativity, you know, it's a perplexing thing. And so he went to bed. In the middle of the night he woke up and he wrote down E equals MC squared and he went back to sleep. In the morning when he woke up, he looked at the thing and he says, what's this silly phrase here? What does it mean? You know. And then during the day it just was in the back of his mind, as a wake mind, and all of a sudden he realized energy equals matter squared. E equals MC squared. Now, energy equals space squared or matter squared. C stands for space or for matter. E equals energy. Now, what do these things mean? Well, now, in our interesting minds, but we're not into those scientific circles, we might not be aware of it. But Einstein was. And there was no logic to it. There was no reason to it. I mean, here's this silly phrase with just these four symbols to it. E equals MC squared. E equals MC squared. So there are four concepts in there. Now, actually, it was three. But the thing is, that was the foundation for the entire theory of relativity, which is, to date, one of the most grand, magnificent theories about the universe that has ever existed. Oh, there are newer understandings will come up too, but as of the moment, that's really remarkable. Okay. The divine within talks to us, and the divine within does not need to talk to us with logic or reason. And we oftentimes think we have to have logic or reason. Now, when Richard Bach was walking down the street and a voice said to him, Jonathan Livingston Seagull, and he thought to himself, who's there, you know, and nobody was there. And then it happened to him several times. And so he listened. He listened to the words, Jonathan Livingston Seagull, which didn't mean a thing to him, you know, but then he sat down and he began writing. And he wrote, and he had no idea what he was writing. He was writing from that divine within him that talks to him when he is in tune with it. When he is in tune with the divine within reveals itself to him. Now, how, you would think, we'd want to, how would we get in tune with the divine within? Well, Richard Bach fought it. He fought it. He walked away from it. He couldn't understand where this voice was coming from until finally he just sat down at his typewriter and started typing it. And he typed up the bestseller. And it became a very wonderful book. But in the middle of it, he thought he was pretty damn good. He thought he was superior to the voice within him. And he acted real cocky. And the voice stopped talking. And until he was able to be at peace with himself and say, okay, I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know how to do it. All I do is listen. I listen to that within me. And then the voice started revealing the rest of the book. And it was complete, just the way it was. It was a Beethoven-type book or a Mozart book. book, yeah, where he didn't have to erase any notes or anything. He just wrote. And as he wrote, he just was having such a good time, having such a good experience writing it, that it tuned him in to more. And as he tuned in to more, he had more and more wonderful experiences. Now, Richard Bach continued to write some books, and the books were not bestsellers. Jonathan Livingston Seagull and Illusions, they were bestsellers. Why was it his subsequent books were not bestsellers? Well, he started to get human. He started to think he had to say he and she, him and her. He had to say not mankind or not men, meaning all. He had to say man and woman. He had to put the two in there. And you see, the moment he started being logical and reasonable about it, the books not only did a flip-flop, but they did a flip into the flop and were no longer the bestsellers. Oh, they sold because it had his name on it, but not because they were good. And you see, this is how we lose when we try to make logical things out of things that are not logical. Now, there's nothing logical about the boy speaking to him and revealing this knowledge to him. There's nothing logical about all of these people. Now, you look at Steve Jobs, and you say, well, Steve Jobs, when he came in, and because his company was having such a tough time, he said, well, I'll just take $1 a year, you know, as your chief executive officer, you know. And so he just took $1 a year. Of course, he had billions of dollars already, and the company gave him stock and gave him other things, which was worth far more than any salary could ever be, but he agreed not to take a salary. Now, was that an inspiration that he had within him to do that? Or did somebody else do that too? Somebody else before he did it? When was the story of the Chrysler Corporation thing with Iacocca? When did he do his thing? Was that about the 70s also? And Chrysler was going downhill then too. And Chrysler got a big head after Iacocca, the Coco, whatever it is, got Chrysler balanced and up again, and then they got rid of him, you know, because he was demanding too many things. Well, now, what happened when the airlines decided that it was going to go under, it was going to fail, and the employees said, no, we'll take it over, and we'll have a minimum salary, and we'll take over the airlines. And they did, and the airlines just popped right back to the top. Not because these people took less money, not because these people did anything in the outer, but what did they do? They believed in the company. They believed in the company irrationally. The company had no reason to believe in it because it was going downhill and fast, and they believed in the company, and that irrational belief, without logic, without reason, is what brought the company back. And the same with Steve Jobs. When he came in, he had been kicked out virtually, put into a lesser office until he got the message, you know, that he wasn't wanted anymore. So he left there. He was a billionaire at the time, and he was very successful, and he had invested in Disney Pictures. It had a different name, then it became Pixel and Pixar, and became very successful. Well, all of these things that he did, everybody thought were crazy. Everybody thought were totally wrong. And so when he came in back to Apple, what did he do? He said, I want everything perfect. I want the finest machine that you can have. I want the finest piece of equipment that you can have. I want the finest program you can have. And we're proprietary, yes. We were not allowing anybody else to get their fingers in there. No, nobody's going to come in and want to put viruses in our computer because we're too little, we're too insignificant. They want to get in the bigger stuff, you know, the Microsoft stuff. And little by little, Apple just kept itself clear, kept itself pure, kept itself without logic, without reason, you know, just kept itself on a straight and simple basis. And today it is exceedingly successful, and it is exceedingly a company that is making a mark for itself, and also other companies are not worried about it, but they see in it what they should be doing in themselves, but they don't have the leadership which is going to allow them to do that in themselves. And then because of that, they will go under and they will come up and they will do these things. But Apple has done that, and it has now gone through that, and it is now stabilized. Now, you say, okay, it took a man like Steve Jobs to do that. What if he leaves the company? What if for any reason he leaves the company? What's going to happen to the company? Well, if the company can retain that mental leadership that he gave it, it'll continue to succeed exceedingly well. And quite likely it'll succeed exceedingly well. I mean, as of the moment, none of our executives are immortal. Yeah. As much as we'd like to have them be that way. But can his recognition of the illogical and unreasonable be immortal? Can that technique, it is a technique, can that technique that is used by all the great thinkers and all the great writers, just look at your attitude right now when I tell you this little tiny story. Here we had one man who was given a job by the Pope to paint the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, which is quite large, and paint the creation story on that ceiling. And then the Pope reneged. He didn't pay him his salary as he should have. He didn't give him the money to live on. And virtually he starved a great deal of the time while he was painting that chapel ceiling. And perhaps that's what made it so great. But he didn't have all these things. And here he did. He had helpers who painted backgrounds, but he had to paint the major scenes. He had to cut them out of paper and put them up there so that they were in position, so that they were in balance and size to the rest of it, proportion to the total thing. It's unreasonable. It's illogical. There's no way any one man could paint that in his lifetime and do all the other things he did and all the other magic he did, you know? But he did it. Why? Because he didn't think he was doing it. He was just expressing himself. He went up there. He knew his Bible. He knew theology, he knew philosophy, he knew those things, and he also knew what would be acceptable and what would not be acceptable, and he did a beautiful work. But it's illogical, unreasonable that one man could engineer that under the difficulties that he had, where he wasn't paid his salary. You know, anybody else not paid their salary, they'd quit. You know, I gotta have my money to live on. And what happened to him? He worked night and day. He worked night and day. And he was a brilliant man. Now, what did Steve Jobs do? He worked night and day. What did Bill Gates do? He worked night and day. Bill Gates made his company such a desirable company, such a think tank company, where the creative ideas and the creative flowed. And that's why people in Bill Gates in Microsoft worked night and day. They work long hours. And that's what Google was attempting to do, get people to work long hours by having all the toys there and everything else there. And they're succeeding. And they're succeeding. And this is what Apple's doing with its employees too. But you see, that's illogical. You should not play games while you're on your job. You should not have amusements while you're on your job. You should not have distractions while you're on your job. Well, what these companies are learning, that these distractions, which are totally illogical, totally unreasonable, totally without merit, are the very things that cause these people to excel in their genius capacity, because they have a way of letting it out. If you let little children play games on a computer when they're young, they'll use a computer all their life in very magical ways, because they're not afraid of it. They're not afraid of this wonderful machine that can bring forth the genius of the world. Just think if any of our great writers had computers when they were doing their writing. My goodness. And we thought they wrote a lot then. What would they write if they had a computer? And it's illogical that just a machine would act as a channel to allow people to express themselves, but it is. That's the magic of what it's all about. Now, the moment you get yourself hung up on thinking about the logical things, making it reasonable, now that's just the moment you move away from your God awareness. You move away from your divine revelation. You move away from the genius that you are, because that's not what the genius is it?
No.
The genius is what?
Working from within.
The genius is no logic and no reason. The genius, you can work from within, but you will not let come out anything that's not logical and reasonable. And you see, that's our fault. We listen within and we hear from within, but it's not logical or reasonable, so therefore we discard it. We discard it. There was one scientist who was working on having a type of material that the body would not reject, and the body would use it for putting for making new tubes, you know, like arteries and veins in the body, you know, and they wanted to put this tube in there which the body wouldn't reject, and it wouldn't work. Oh, they tried everything. And then in his dream he had this idea. He woke up and wrote it down, and then the next day he looked at it when he woke up and he says, I already had that idea. I rejected that idea because I felt that idea wouldn't work. Well, I guess I'll try it. So this idea, which he rejected because it wouldn't work, he's now trying and found what?
It works.
It worked. Because he was against himself before. When the presentation came out of his inner self, he opposed it, and therefore it did not happen. Now they're using it. They're using it in the human body, because it's a substance that the human body does not reject, and they can make these tubes and perhaps a lot more things out of it, you know, that the human body needs to have, that they think it needs to have at least. But you see, we have given to us many, many illustrations of where we have been our own worst enemy because of our logic and reason. And oftentimes you say to a girl, why do you go with that boy? He's got no future. He's got no ambition. He's got no drive. What do you want to do with him? Dad, I love him. Oh, why do you love him? I don't know. I just love him. Well, he'll be a nothing. Dad, I love him. It's illogical. That's unreasonable. But I love him. But daughter, don't marry him. There are six or eight guys out there who are rich and successful and famous and who are wealthy and who are talented and who are capable and who are proving themselves, and they want you. They want you. But Dad, I don't want them. Now, so the other guys get married and their marriages break up, and their families break up, and their worlds break up because they're so intense, and they're so logical, and they're so reasonable, and they're so... And this young girl who married this person who was not as successful as everybody else was, married a man who absolutely loved her, and she loved him. And after 200 years of marriage, after a long, long, wonderful marriage, they still loved each other. They still loved each other. And there's no logic, there's no reason to love it. When your heart talks, if you listen, you'll be surprised the magic that comes forth. So this day, let's let that be a little bit of a lesson to us. Logic and reason, they're okay in their place, but the divine has no logic or reason to however it performs. And if we learn to flow with it, we've got everything we could ever want. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you eternally.
I love you.